the winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guests, heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 4341790. You can send a WhatsApp to 253-4679 or an email to cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guests is brought in association with our good friends at ASFE White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASFE White Rum. If anybody feels they could drink with me. To sing this song, tell me bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da, pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Yes, from Kingston, Jamaica, right through to Bridgetown in Barbados, the smile is as broad as England. Indeed, you know what up? The West Indies are into the semifinals. Our women made us so proud today. I'm a very happy man. I'm sure you're very happy as well. England are competitive, 141 for 7. And I suppose when you look at that with women, you think it's a score that really you should be able to defend. Not so at all. Joseph, of course, from St. Lucia, batting well with Captain Hayley Matthews. And then after this, did so well in the power play, adding over 100 for the first wicket. Both of them got out, and you said, oh, what's going on there? But, of course, there's Deandra Dottin from Barbados, that beautiful young lady from Black Bess in St. Peter, making things brown for the English. She hit two big sixes. She was brilliant. Four catches, a run out, three overs, one for 16, a top performance from her. And of course, she made 27 with two huge sixes to see the West Indies over the line. Now, in terms of the performance of the West Indies, by virtue of winning the game, in fact, there were some two overs left. In less than 19 overs, they were able to go past South Africa, which means that the West Indies will now play against New Zealand on Friday, 10 o'clock. Local time, 10 o'clock, of course, in the morning. And then on Thursday, Australia will play against South Africa. And then the grand final on Sunday. We hope that the West Indies team can get there. And I would suggest that having to play New Zealand, they will fancy the chances of getting to the finals. We shall see. Not so good news for the men. 162 for 5 to Sri Lanka, the West Indies, all up for 89, 16 overs and one ball, losing by 73 runs. And that was not the kind of performance that you would have been looking for. I'm Andrew Mason. We're going to be certainly discussing the men and the women. And in terms of other action as well, we note with interest that the Barbados squad has, in fact, been announced. I announced it a long time ago, I must admit. Kyle Mears, we announced that on VOB about a week ago. Kadeem Allen, Linico Boucher, Dominic Drakes, Shamar Holder, good to see him playing, Matthew Jones, Javed Leacock, Zachary McCaskey, Raymond Reefer, Demetrius Richards, Kemar Smith, Jamal Warkin, Kevin Wickham, and Naeem Young. That is the Barbados team. I hope to get a reaction from the noted journalist Ezra Stewart a little bit later on as far as that team is concerned, because there are many who feel that Namara Bolden, who did so very well in the finals when, of course, his side Wilde defeated Pickwick 171, followed up with a 79 in the trials, and then only on the weekend made 100. Many people felt that he really should have made the side. Of course, we'll invite your thoughts a little bit later on the show. But without any further ado, our panel very much there. I see Don Topley, who is with us. Don, how are you? What is that you're eating? Are you eating some peanuts from Barbados that you brought back when you traveled?
No, it's my midnight feast. I thought I'd have a gin and tonic together with some apples and very strong mature cheddar cheese. That's my midnight feast.
I thought you'd have some ACF work around the best shot of the day.
I'll have it very soon.
When you come.
But what a day of cricket.
Yes, indeed.
You've got to be celebrating in the West Indies, haven't you? England, well, the past 13 games, you were playing England, who have had a fantastic record against the West Indies ladies, but today it mattered. A knockout game, and the West Indies won, and they fully, fully deserved it. So well played, the West Indies women. Listen, England's men recently in the West Indies got to the World Cup semi-final, and in Guyana they lost. They probably did the wrong thing at the toss, but it cost England the game and it cost Matthew Mott his job. So I'm interested to see, because generally speaking, there's a great feeling in this country about women's cricket. But today, England bowled very average and they fielded poorly. No side who's going to field like that and drop five catches are going to win any game of cricket. Whether it's West Indies ladies, West Indies men, Wilde, Pickwick, or the local Coleridge and Parry's primary school. They're not going to win games dropping five catches. So well played. And I'm rooting for you, ladies, on, is it Thursday, in their semi-final against New Zealand. No, they won't be worried. Most favourites were going to be South Africa and Australia, but they're in the other side of the draw. So good luck to the West Indies ladies.
Okay, well, like your opening spell, but a couple of outswingers in swing as well. Let's go to George Ferris. George, your smile must be as broad as Buckingham Palace. Talk to me. Georgie?
Hey, good evening, Andrew. Good evening to the rest of the panel. Good evening to your listeners. Let me say good evening to my friend Fitzroy Simon in Leicester, England. I know he's tuned in right now, and he's very happy about the ladies' victory. He, like myself, forego watching the men, and we were watching the ladies. I was nervously watching the ladies and praying for Haley to bat on to the end, because I'm always worried when she gets out early.
Yes.
I'm always nervous when she gets out early. When she got out, I said, well, I think that we have enough on board to take us over the line. I'm wishing them tremendous success on Thursday. I know they can do it. If they bat smart, they can do it. They have some good power hitters. And I believe that the spinners, the leg spinners did well today. One of the leg spinners did well today. And I think that they can do a good job against New Zealand on Thursday. Mm-hmm. I'm wishing them all the best.
Mm-hmm. Philo, your assessment of the win.
Hi, Andrew. Good evening. Good evening to Dr. Ford and the panel. I just wanted to say condolences to old Brian Smith, Angel boy like myself who passed the other weekend. Mm-hmm. And friends in Angel obviously will be, ruin that loss of a great man, along with Peter Skeet, who's also one of the youth commissioners in that area. It's quite sad, Andrew, when we keep losing friends. But there's joy today. Second evening to Sherlock Hart, who'll be born, and Carlos and my friend Heaven. Today, Andrew, was two tears. We played against, let's say we played against the second ranked team in the world, which is England, who has been beating us left, right, and center, we must admit. They came to the Caribbean a couple years ago and they demolished us, and the captain said that they had no competition. And today in Sharjah, Dubai, the West Indies women played a game over their skins. They restricted England to a total that was gettable. I thought, aided by some very poor fielding, England got to the 140. I thought they were going to restrict them for less. But then a Joseph, not even Shamar or Alzari, they were holding some licks in Sri Lanka. But a lady called Joseph, who came with a different type of batting style, Andy, and Andrew, surprised England. They've never come across that type of batting. She was given a license to go and enjoy herself and bat the way she know how to bat. Mm-hmm. And she see the ball, and she hit it. Mm-hmm. And she hit it with tremendous power. And she hit it to some of the players in the air, and they dropped it. But she hit it to the boundaries as well, and over the boundaries. And it was good to see West Indies taking the fight to England. Along our captain, Hayley Matthews, to just settle into her rhythm. And once she gets into rhythm, she's going to score easily. Her timing was great on a slow pitch. Then, obviously, DeAndre Dalton at Chun, he's the finisher. And one thing she has above all the other women is that she can hit sixes, and hit sixes rather easily.
Mm-hmm.
And the way in which she's striking the ball from the spinners, it's going to be interesting to see the semifinal matchup against New Zealand, because she's going to be the one that New Zealand is going to be targeting to get out, to get in there early and to get out. Because clearly, Andrew, she's come back and she's done wonderfully well. Today was her day, four catches, some wickets, and then scored the winning runs. You can ask for anything better. So it's a very good game against England. And obviously they can celebrate and then prepare for a tough New Zealand side, I must admit. New Zealand plays similar to Australia. Mm-hmm. Don't give up, they fight all the way down. And West Indies will have their work cut out. But congratulations to them. And let's hope that they can go past New Zealand again into the finals. And whoever they meet in the finals, you know, they're looking to win. But congratulations. It was a good day for women's cricket and not so good day for the men.
Mm, Dr. Ford, just before you come in, Dr. Ford, I want to do a critical analysis of the game. I mean, I think one of the things that we don't do is that we don't analyze success, because although the West Indies won, I've got one or two concerns, which I will share a little bit later on the show. So it's over to you, Dr. Ford. Your assessment of the big win by the West Indies women. Doc?
Hi, Andrew. Good night to the panel and to listeners. Well, I'd like to congratulate the women and the coaching staff and everyone that's involved in the prep and the maintenance of the team. Without Stephanie Taylor, to have the confidence to go out there and to believe in themselves as a unit, that is really great. And it just shows that if you bat well, you can win a lot of T20 games. If you keep wickets in hand and you go at a good clip at the beginning, you have the resilience to face down any score. And having Dotton a bit lower down gives us a little power in the middle. And that's something that the team had lacked previously in the way it was set up, because, you know, having in the years ago, having Dotted and Matthews at the top and maybe just Taylor and then nothing after that left us kind of insecure if we lost a few wickets. So it's just about finding our roles for players and putting them in the right position. But making runs and conserving wickets is important, and they bowl well as they often do, and they fielded better than England. So I'm glad that they have a chance now to go up against stronger opposition and to show what they've done. But we have to be happy with the women. I know Philip Spooner last week said one important figure, Matthews, is as a captain, as a leader, and epitomizing what West Indian cricketer should be. And, you know, she's really doing big things along with her team for West Indies. And she always speaks as, not as an individual, but as a captain with a collective group. And, you know, I like the way she does that. And, you know, we just have to wish the women all the best going forward. They've made us proud already. I'm sure a lot of people didn't expect them to make this transition into the next round. So we have to give them a lot of applause and thanks for that.
Indeed. Well, I spoke to Hayley this afternoon, of course, about 2:30 now. So, but she's promised she's coming home on Tuesday. Let's hope she comes home with the cup. She has promised that she will certainly join us next Tuesday. And we're really hoping that the West Indies can go on to win. They've got to play against New Zealand on Friday. And then on Thursday, Australia will play against South Africa. Philip Spooner, Dr. Ford mentioned your name just now about the importance of someone like a Hayley Matthews. Philip?
Good evening, Andrew. Good evening, other members of the panel. Good evening to the listeners. Yeah, Andrew, I've said it before the tournament, and I'll repeat it again. Haley Matthews is emerging as the most significant person in West Indies cricket. That might sound strange to a lot of people, and people will say, oh, it's only women's cricket. It's not only women's cricket. The audience for this tournament is in the billions as well as the men tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So Haley Matthews is just driven success. You saw the reaction to her performances when she led Barbados, the Royals and the women. And here is the further emergence, of a very significant individual in West Indies cricket. Our men's cricket is struggling. I won't say we're down in the dumps by any stretch of the imagination. We are not. But our Test cricket is we're one from the bottom in the Test Championship. We can't qualify for the 50-over World Cup and the Champions Trophy. And even though we are on the cusp of being number two in the T20 format, we couldn't qualify for the final four in the T20 World Cup in the Caribbean in June. But while all that is happening, Haley Matthews is taking her game to another level and is taking along the West Indies team with her. And today's performance is another example of how you lead. Now, a lot of people might not know, Joseph is not a batter. Joseph is a specialist spinner who normally hits the ball what people would call swipes at the bottom. I don't want to say she's a swiper, but she's not a renowned batter. Mm. But here's a situation where with Taylor out here, and I know Haley mandated it because I know the inside story. Haley said, we have to get Joseph at the top and give her the license to go and swing. And you could see the smile on her face when she walked up to bat with Haley. You could see the enjoyment. Mm-hmm. You could see how much Joseph was enjoying this.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, this must be the... Because here's another St. Lucian who has come to the top of the class and has really led today. But one very important factor in today's match that has been overlooked is those two sixes by Dotton.
Mm-hmm.
Now, had we won the game in the 19th over... or in the 20th over, we would have played Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. By winning earlier, thanks to Dotting and those sixes, we now play New Zealand. And let's not scratch our heads about it. I would prefer to play New Zealand and Australia any day in the semifinal because the Aussies are certainly the best team.
Yes.
You got to go and take it from the Australians. Mm. They're not going to give it to you. New Zealand should be a less challenging opponent, even though it won't be an easier match. But if I had a choice between Australia and New Zealand, obviously we take New Zealand. So Dotting's performance today, along with the four catches, the run out, and the innings itself, obviously by some distance he played the match. I don't know who made the decision otherwise, but that's another story for another day. But those two sixes that up and brought us to victory a little bit earlier ensured that we finished higher in the pecking order than South Africa, and therefore now we get to play New Zealand rather than Australia. So Friday should be another great day. But I said it before the match. I said if West Indies play their best game and England have an off day, it was curtains for England. And that's exactly what happened. And England again looked rudderless without Heather Knight. We saw it in the Commonwealth Games in 2022.
Yes.
Whenever Heather Knight is not there, England don't look like they know what they're doing. Mm. Obviously, the coach is under a lot of pressure now. He might lose his job, as Don said. And England will go into rebuilding phase for the next world tournaments. They don't like to lose. There's a World Cup next year, 50 over in India. So everybody's going to come smacking for that. But today, I would rate this actually as the second most significant performance by the West Indies women's team ever. Obviously, the final in 2016 was the best. But today's performance, going out there and taking it from England.
Yes.
They took it from England. England weren't... They snatched it out of England's hands. And... two significant things. Putting a bowler to open the batting, knowing that she had the skill set and that she would follow the instructions and go and swing. Brilliant thinking from Haley to open with Joseph. And then very, very smart from Dotting to go for those two sixes and nail them. And it goes to show Dotting's level of cricketing IQ. I mean, we've missed her and now we're delighted that she's back because she showed today that she understood the assignment. And those two sixes that took the net run rate over South Africa in winning demonstrated that there's a clear understanding of what's required. So 10 out of 10 for the West Indies today. That's a brilliant performance.
No, let's go back to Don Topley. Do an assessment for me, Don. Where did England go wrong?
They got a total, not maybe a par total, wasn't a great total, but they bowled average and fielded poorly. Look, you know, you can compete if you take your catches and if you're good in the field. That's the one thing that Andy Flower used to talk about being non-negotiable, the fielding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need to field well. Not everyone can bat, not everyone can bowl. I do note the West Indies bowled 8 bowlers in the girls' analysis. 8 bowlers. Interesting that. It talks about roles, but for England, their fielding was diabolical. Seriously. And that's where I'm going to leave it with England, unfortunately. And I don't know why they fielded badly. The Dubai ground, the Ring of Fire, they don't have these old, like what I call football floodlights. They have a ring of lights that go around the top of the stands, and they're not the tallest stands. Maybe that's different to Sharjah. Whereas the lights might get in their eyes. But listen, these girls today are professionals and they should have practiced a lot under those Ring of Fire lights, those floodlights, but they failed. And I take my hats off to the West Indies, putting the pinch hitter up the order. Mm-hmm. Brilliant. That probably surprised England. But to have 2 openers get 50, you're almost on the brink of winning. So well done. I've got no complaints. Mm. I think I'll be putting all the girls in detention for their fielding. Mm. It was diabolical, sorry.
Just before we go to the commercial break, the importance of Knight in the side. Phillips said his side looked rudderless without her. You agree with that, Don?
Probably. They were missing a leader. And it wasn't a natural a leader taking over. They were a bit rudderless, perhaps. But they needed a bit of luck. England needed a bit of luck and field well. And they didn't do it. And they didn't bowl well. So, you know, hats off. You took the initiative. The West Indies won fair and square. And I just hope it's not that today wasn't the West Indies final, if you understand my meaning. I hope they've all got another good game in them against New Zealand on Friday. Big game for that. They can win it, but crikey, they've got to turn up with their A game.
Oh, yes. OK, we're going to pause our business cause, you know, I'm into analysis. I like to analyse success. And I note with interest that Philip gave the West Indies 10 out of 10. But I've got 1 or 2 concerns. I'll certainly talk about them in detail when I come back. Nation dropped a dolly. Monasar, I don't know if it's necessary to play her in the side. We use 8 bowlers. And Joseph at cover. I've got my concerns about that as well. So, you know, they cuss me, but I'm into analysis. Huh? The West Indies won, but there are some concerns. We will certainly look at that when we come back. You saw that catch that Nation dropped, Philo? You would have taken it. You saw the Joseph at cover. I'm not quite sure about that. Munasar, 8 women bowled. It certainly was an interesting situation. Was somebody on the ball? These are things when we come back from our chat. Mason and Guest, Broughton Association, with the good friends at ASFE Work Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASFE White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ASFE is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want.
All right, the phone is going. Let's take this call. Let's bring the call in. We'll come to Philo Wallace, who, of course, is the analyst in the side, making some notes there. Let's take a call. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Hello, good night.
Good night to you.
Yeah, I did watch the game today.
Yes.
And, you know, I was listening to Mr. Topley. Yes, the English fielding was poor, but one significant thing that I don't know if anybody realized. The girls gave her bun. She was out plum. And the West Indies had lose all their reviews and they couldn't appeal. They couldn't set right. up series.
Right.
And that her score was significant in this total. And I'm quite sure because she was not much when she was out at BWS, but the Empire refused to send her. I'm quite sure that the West Indies wouldn't have to chase that among her runs. But that was one significant thing. She was out plump.
Yeah.
But West Indies had no reviews.
Yeah, but caller, but the first West Indies review, I didn't think it was necessary. Left arm spinner, the ball clearly. I mean, even without going to ball tracking, it looked as if it would have been outside the off stump.
That one was
in my view, a poor one actually.
Yeah, and we also dropped some catches as well too.
Nation, Monasa right. cover, Joseph at extra cover. I mean, I hail the West Indies who went in, but 8 bowlers were used. And I would say this, you know, I mean, I would say 141 for women is a pretty decent score. I know it would be interesting that Don said it's a par score, but I think that any time you can make, you know, in the women's game 130, 140, I mean, I think that's pretty reasonable.
I thought that they got it too much runs though, because if our feeling was better,
yes,
and then that very important decision, maybe I don't think that they would have probably got to about 100. They would just probably got about over 100.
Right.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Thanks. Let's say the calls are coming in. Phil, I'm going to come to you shortly. Let's take a call. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Good night, Mr. Mason.
Good night to you, sir.
11,000 missing. I hear about this team that going to Trinidad.
Yes.
Got two men on that team. I want to know how they get any team.
Well, tell me.
That is Reefer and Drakes.
Reefer and Drakes.
So. Drakes, right? So I mean his son.
Yeah, Dominic Drakes.
You want your IPL?
Yes.
He
wasn't good in the IPL.
You mean the real bad?
Yeah.
Worst thing I ever seen play cricket. I could come again. I come and walk in this team though.
Who would you have played instead of Drakes?
Mr. Mason, you call a man just when a man making hundreds in the plane, you should get a player.
So hold on then. So you would have put in your side Namara Bolden ahead of Dominic Drakes?
You can put anybody in front of him at this time.
No, I'm asking your question.
Mr. Mason.
Caller. No, hold on. You have a squad of 14. You don't want to play Drakes. I'm asking you who you would play.
I said player.
Namara Bolden.
You deserve a player.
Okay.
You know what happened? We just went to Mayfield to play them. You see what they do with this team that we're going to
them.
You're mad and mad if they come play in one match.
Yeah.
And he could wake keep and he could bat.
Yes, that wasn't good. That wasn't good at all.
Not good enough at all in cricket.
Yeah, that wasn't good at all.
Maybe this is friends cricket one done it.
All right, well, thanks for your contribution, caller. Let's sneak another call in before we go to our good friend, Philo Wallace. Hello, welcome. Oh, 4341790, give us the call and participate. In fact, we got that call. Let's take it before we go to Philo. Hello, welcome.
Yeah, good night to the guests.
Good night to you, sir.
It wasn't a surprise to me, no surprise to me at all.
That what?
The West Indies men run from the ball while the women enjoy beating it.
Is that part of your poem?
I ain't put together the poem yet. I put together when we win the World Cup.
Okay, well, I hope that we win so you can put together that poem.
I all keep the good work up, huh?
Thank you very much indeed.
I tell you now that I would take them to dancing lessons so they will move the foot again, the spin. You see what? That's why I want to be West Indies coach, you know.
Okay, wonderful. Thanks for your contribution. Keep the calls coming. Let's go to Philo. Philo? Philo? He's stuck there. Is Philo stuck? Oh, yes, Philo.
It's you that's stuck, Andrew. You're not stuck. Me. Andrew, I look at Ram Narak. She was our top bowler the last year. And yes. Only bowled one over.
Yes. Mm. What's happening there? Is Phil on stock? I think he is.
Slight freeze.
Yes, Phil.
And when you look, at Munassar, you have to ask the question: What is on the bench, Andrew?
Yes.
The injured Stefani Taylor.
Yes.
What is on the bench?
Nerissa Crafton, Mangru, and Shamina Connell, yes.
Yeah, Connell, you got Crafton from St. Lucia. So there isn't a lot on the bench. So they're trying to patch up areas, obviously, that requires various skills. And I think that things are happening for them because they're not positive.
Right.
When you bowl 8 bowlers in a T20 game, and your main bowlers don't bowl out, it tells you something.
Yes.
You know, so at least today has shown us that, yes, we got a depth in our bowling, but there's still something missing. There's a missing unit in that bowling lineup. Because DeAndre Norton bowled 3 overs today, and that's the first time she has bowled. Because everybody was questioning, you know, if she was skillful enough to bowl, because she was obviously batting and fielding. Our fielding, and you're still not 100%. Our lady's still not ungamely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you come up against teams like New Zealand, I know you... Philip said that he would prefer us to play New Zealand. But I've been watching this World Cup, and New Zealand has been playing some very good cricket.
Mm-hmm.
And the top players seem to want to win, and that is interesting. I think the matchup in that game against New Zealand is going to be quite interesting, because New Zealand to me seem more focused. They have a new coach and a former player, and he has brought this kind of aura, a fighting aura, which is quite good. There'll be a lot of batsmen. I can't remember his name. Another senior moment I'm having. But New Zealand looks good, Andrew. It's just I think that West Indies women just need to tighten up a bit more and attack the ball in the field. I think they catch the ball a little too low, these women. Mm. I mean, the ball spills from their hands and it goes to the ground rather quickly. So they need to get to the ball quicker and obviously be more effective. So we had a new opening pair work. Will that opening pair work against New Zealand? It's going to be left to be seen. I think that we keep her too as well, Andrew. She's a little like them both.
Yes.
She's all energy.
Yes.
She comes at number 3. She doesn't take quick. She leaves. I would like her to spend a bit more time by the crease.
Yes.
To help us, because she's one that would take the attack to the bowlers. Mm-hmm. So I would like her to bat a little deeper. And just coming in, scoring this 10 and 15 and moving out. But she has that. She has the input. She has the right impetus and mentality and intent to score. And obviously, we know what Dodding can do, but we need, after Dodding and Henry, then we're looking at Sam. But my concern today is why Ram Narat did not bowl out her 4 overs after bowling so well in the last game of picking up 4 wickets for less than 20 runs. But obviously, we wouldn't know until maybe Thursday if they do play the same squad. But all in all, Andrew, yes, there's some concerns in the field. Our fielders still, you know, Joseph lies down rather than dives.
She's a pretty big lady. She's a pretty big lady, Philo. Pretty big lady.
She's not small, but she can get fit. She's right at the top of the order now.
Yes.
So she will have to show a bit more tenacity to get fit.
Yes.
Because by the way, Andrew Matthews, he likes to run a lot of singles
and
get a rhythm going. And if there's a combination that's going to take West Indies cricket forward, but Joseph will know that she has work to do in relation to her fitness.
There's a lot of
in Lucha. So I don't see the reason why she can't come back another 10 or 15 pounds later. Let me see the next time. But congratulations to them, Andrew. They're on a high. And we just take the positives. And we hope that we can get more positive impact coming from them going into the game against New Zealand. The white first are not easy. Craig McMillan is the name of the coach. The New Zealand coach. He seems to be quite good. And quite, I know, set in how New Zealand women are playing their cricket, which is it's good to see.
Andrew, everything that Philo just said is spot on. As a matter of fact, Joseph was left out of the team a year ago for fitness reasons. Joseph was back and told he needed to get fitter and needed to come back stronger. So he is. This is the second coming of her. And as I said, she's a specialist bowler who was sent with clear instructions to do a job and do damage today. And she did that. So Philo is spot on. And we can see that there's more work to be done, but at least we're happy that we have her. And Philo's right. The bench does not look strong. And there are a couple of players who, before the tournament, I said should have, because we don't pick the team, but
could have easily been included in this squad and bit more bench strength. If you think of Jamelia Glasgow, the young all-rounder from St. Vincent, she is dynamite. She is a superb athlete. She represents St. Vincent in track and field and football. She's a big athlete. She ticks all the boxes. I was surprised she was in there. She could give you some power hitting and in the field, she could take every catch. You have Jazara Claxton from St. Kitts, who's just been put in the academy. She, too, is another all-rounder, the only player from St. Kitts to ever take a hat-trick in cricket. Obviously, she was the first Kittitian to play international cricket, even before a male from St. Kitts played. So Jazara Claxton could have been there easily. Kate Wilmot, the fast bowler from Jamaica, 6'2", strong and bowls, and probably the fastest bowler in the West Indies right now. And we don't have any pace in our attack. And you know, in women's cricket, everybody knows that the extra pace makes women very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another that could have been exercised. We could have had Kate Wilmot there, and then there's Janaba Joseph from Trinidad, bats in the middle order. She could easily have been in that team ahead of Crafton from St. Lucia. I don't know how they're going to fit Crafton in. Crafton came from out of the blue. She's 26 years old. She'd never distinguished herself in regional cricket. She was just, you know, picked out of nowhere when I believe there were better options available. But that's not to say that the selectors did a poor job. I mean, we've seen the performances led by your marquee players, your experienced players are the ones supposed to drive the team, and the other players come along. Afi Fetcher has proven her worth. And as Philo said, today we bowl 8 bowlers, and Joseph, a specialist bowler, didn't bowl a ball. I would bowl 20 overs of spin against New Zealand. The pitches are wearing, they're low. The lights are obviously presenting a bit of a challenge. I would bowl 20 overs of spin in the semifinal against New Zealand. New Zealand players love the ball coming on the bat. They want pace on the ball. I would bowl 20 overs. I would bowl Joseph. Jovis would bowl a full quarter, Ramarat her full quarter, Afi Fletcher her full quarter, Haley Matthews her full quarter, and then mix it up with the rest. Henry might probably bowl one at the top.
Philip, just before we go to George, would you make any changes for New Zealand?
Well, they're going to have to find a way again. Taylor patched up and back in. I mean, 50% Taylor is better than most players around the world. So most teams would want Stephanie Taylor in their team. I would obviously bring back Taylor and leave out Munisar. You know, the big deal player won a World Cup already. She knows how to get it done. Taylor scored 8,000 plus runs in international cricket and has 199 wickets or something like that. You can't trade that. So Stephanie Taylor comes back for me, even if on 1 foot. And I would leave out young Munisar because of the nature of the occasion and because of the level of And that would be my one. I would bowl at least 15, 16, even 17 over the spin against New Zealand on a wearing pitch that you expect on Friday.
George, would you make such changes?
Well, if Taylor is fit, what type of injury does she have? That's what we got to talk about. Because if it's an injury that she can go along with and play well, you know, so be it. But if she is going to, you know, restrict her movements and prevent her from playing the normal shots and running around in the field, I wouldn't do that at all. Because you may make things worse for her. But let's go back to what we were talking about with England getting this surprise upset. Would it be, Don, that England underestimated the West Indian girls because we haven't beaten them since 2018? So could it be that they were underprepared, just like how Mike Tyson underrated Buster Douglas and got whooped? That could be that, all right? That's one question there. And I'm taking the eight bowlers. I'm looking at this differently. It may be a very good tactic because the England batters and the England camp, they didn't plan for some of these guys bowling. So they were surprised. They were caught off guard. And also the move at the top with putting Joseph there, when they saw Joseph started to hit out and, you know, getting real dominant, that could have really got the English ladies very scared, you know, because they weren't expecting that at all. So the surprises that the West Indies team put on today, I think that what caught England off guard. So Don, tell me. Well, did you think that your guys underestimated that the West Indian ladies? The ladies.
I agree with the second bit about sending an opener, a pinch hitter in, and the surprise. But look, right, the stats tell you that England have dominated the fixture for the last 13 games. They've won 13 on the bounce. I'll be absolutely gutted if they weren't mentally prepared and said, listen, you know, we've all done a bit of coaching. And my coaching philosophies are, hey, if we've lost 13 on the trot, we're due one in the W column. So mentally, I'll be even more critical of England if they were casual about taking on the West Indies today. I would have been more brutal about their fielding. But I hope that isn't the case. I generally hope. I know one or two of the coaches, and I'll be very surprised if they did take the West Indies lightly. I just think they had a horror day at the office and well played the West Indies. You duly deserve it.
Don, before you go, knows way past your bedtime, a quick comment on England in terms of the red ball, no, playing against Pakistan. You must be quite happy with their performance. What a test match. And, of course, second test has just started.
Yeah, it has. In complete contrast, we're talking about the girls, the fellows, that last week. What a game of cricket. I mean, there'll be some who say it was boring. It wasn't a great balance between bat and ball. But look, if we just, you know, I mean, unbelievable. Pakistan got 556 all out in 149 overs. And England, in 150 overs, they declared on 823 for seven. I mean, some of the stats, 823 for seven was the fourth highest England test score. It was the third, you know, worldwide and the third highest test score by England. 454, that partnership. Harry Brook and Joe Root was the highest partnership in English cricket. The 317 by Harry Brook was the fifth highest score by an England man. Six Pakistan bowlers conceded 100 in the bowling analysis. Root has now six to double centuries, one more than Alastair Cook, and only Wally Hammond is ahead of him with seven. But with George and Philo in your distinguished guest tonight, Pakistanis only bowled one maiden in 150 overs. Anyone who knows about coaching, anyone who knows anything about coaching in modern day cricket, it's about joining the dots up to create pressure. Even George, as a professional bowler, you know, if you can't get wickets, keep it tight, because the guy down the other end might be the benefactor of you bowling tight. But our scoring, our run rate was unbelievable for 150 overs. So I think we've got to celebrate that game. For those that say it was a bit of a dull wicket, well, maybe, but you earn your crust, as George will know. On wickets that are flat, that's where you have to bring your A team, and you have to find resilience, and you have to find something in your heart to be able to bowl and to bowl tight. But maybe the Pakistani bowlers weren't so good this week, weren't so good at all.
Final question before you go. Of course, England will be coming up to the Caribbean at the end of the month. What's the interest like? Lots of people coming? I asked you that before, but since then, more coming?
I'm bringing a few. I like to think they're going to have a time. Yes, I don't think it's selling brilliantly. I think there'll be a representation, but not like it used to be. Please remember, this is the third time we're coming. It's the third time I'm coming, and I'll be so pleased to join you there. But look, money's tight in England, seriously tight. And I don't think people can afford those special holidays at the moment.
Well, okay, stay with us. Let's go to Philip. We're going to go for a commercial break now. Philip, in terms of the interest, I mean, Don is saying that many people are not going to be coming, but don't the English tend to travel for red ball cricket rather than white ball cricket? Philip?
Yeah, Don's point is made and taken. Obviously, yeah, three times in a year is a fair amount. So you don't expect the massive club. We didn't get the big English following for the T20 World Cup. We saw more Indians. We saw 6,000 Indian fans come. We didn't get that large amount of UK visitors that we normally get. So Don's point is well made. And England, you know, the English visitors before the Test cricket, and they're all, you know, signed up already for the Ashes come on the next year. So that's where the hard earned dosh is being spent. So you know, there are a lot of English people living in the Caribbean for starters. So you expect them to come out and support their team. Bethel, Jordan, and Joffre has a lot of family and friends. Phil Salt, so they'll be those fans. But I don't think we anticipate the large influx of the visitors, the 6,000 and 7,000 that you get for the Wisden Trophy or the Richard Botham Trophy of Test cricket.
Mm-hmm.
There's not any long stay period in any one country on this. You got two matches here, two in Antigua, three in St. Kitts or something of that nature. So, sorry, not St. Kitts, St. Lucia. So, I don't anticipate a large amount of British visitors for the cricket. But you know, it's still going to be good quality cricket. The West Indies is still trying to get up the ladder in 50-over cricket and then become world number one in T20 cricket. But back to today's match and the point George made about Joseph. Joseph actually opened early in the tournament. He opened
the first game against South Africa,
She had a royal goal. Was swinging.
Yep.
Swinging for the hills. And a point on the lights in Dubai. The ring of light. Obviously, they don't extend as high as poles as you see in Barbados and at most venues around the world, like the MCG, for example. The poles are 100 feet high, so you gotta gauge for that, and you gotta be careful of that. You gotta be knowledgeable about that, so you don't go in the game, the ball comes at you, and then you say, "Oh my God, the lights are low." I mean, where were you when the team was practicing? And the point there about you know, England possibly being caught out by Joseph. Well, if they were, I'm sorry to say that somebody needs to lose the job, because Joseph has been opening the batting before. And, you know, and she was a factor. She was a real factor, especially with Taylor out. You had to know that Joseph was going to open the batting. I mean, that wasn't rocket sense for anybody who's been following the West Indies team. So if that happened, I know Gareth Breeze is a fielding coach. Gareth Breeze is very thorough, very knowledgeable, and very aware of what's going on. So I don't think he would have made that mistake, if indeed a mistake was made. But I just think that we all just got to say West Indies had a great day, performed brilliantly, led by a tremendously, you know, well-prepared and well-oiled machinery and, you know, well-led by a brilliant captain. Hayley Matthews is emerging as the best captain in women's cricket around the world. Mm. Her decisions are spot on. She performs out of her skin when she has to, and she is leading from the front. She is now the best captain in women's cricket in the world.
Mm. Well, I don't know. I think we'll have to put that under the microscope. You get carried away sometimes, you know, Philip. All right. It's 4 minutes past the hour of 7 o'clock. We're certainly going to make it a pause for business calls. And maybe I'll ask Dr. Ford if he agrees with Philip on that. It's a big statement to make, you know, Philip. Big, big statement to make.
If he isn't, who is? If he isn't, who is?
I'm just saying it's a big statement to make. When I come back, I'll go straight to Dr. Ford and to Roland Butcher.
Who's the best prime minister in the Caribbean?
Who's the best prime minister in the Caribbean? Dr. Kishore Shano. You heard what he said, Philo? Philip? You're going quiet on me, man.
Sorry, Andrew, I didn't hear that.
Okay. What you're going to hear me say now is that we're going to pause for business calls. Our very good friend is in, of course, Ken Husband's in blue tonight. Last week was red. You're confusing me. Next year, you're going to wear yellow. Mason and Guest, brought to you in association with the good friends at ASFE Wet Rum, the best shot of the day. ASFE.
white rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, 4341790, Dr. Ford.
Well, she is incredibly articulate, but I'd say when she captains every team that she's a member of, I'd say she would definitely be the best captain in the world in women's cricket. But I want to ask Don about the dropping of Babar Azam.
Yes.
And what does he think about that, that move?
I didn't quite hear that. Just repeat that.
Babar Azam being dropped, it seems unthinkable. Yes, a guy of his stature, an average would.
Recording in progress.
I had to read that when I read it on Twitter. I couldn't believe it. I mean, he still would be England's most feared batsman, and they wouldn't want to bowl at him. So, Doctor, you're absolutely right. I think it. We'll see how this test pans out, but surely they're going to miss him and miss him in his experience. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's a big question for Pakistan. How can they do it? But they've done it. Listen, you really do rip up the rule sheet when you talk and acknowledge Pakistan cricket, because anything can happen. Anything.
Dr. Ford, continue. Oh, back to me. Okay.
On that point, though, Andrew, you know, they actually dropped Baba on his birthday.
On his birthday.
Which is quite a gift to give a man. But he replaced with Meg 100.
Yes.
So, I mean, Baba is, I mean, I remember we toured UAE a couple of years back, and he made 100 after 100 after 100 against us.
Mm.
I didn't know that he would ever get out. I remember Viv Richards remarking that at that time he's probably the best young player in the world, and he's gone through a rut. But they replaced him with Kamran Ghulam, hitherto unknown.
Mm.
And he smoked 118 off 224 balls with 11 fours and a six.
Right.
So what we know, Baba, well, if he was a West Indian, he'd obviously play 200 matches. We'll never get dropped. But what we know, Baba is a class player and one of the best in the world. You know, they just decided to flip the coin and introduce somebody different. And the guy walked off the street, literally put on his pads and his gloves, took up his bat and made 100. So the selectors obviously have seen something in Ghulam that they like, and they've decided to invest in him. And he's in Baba's class, because he didn't look a class player, but what he did is show some fight, some real industrious. He clearly has an industrious nature. And he put 100 on the table, and it's now the top scorer, and it's given Pakistan a steady start, and they're 5 down going into the second day. So,
Okay, let's take a call. Can we head into 9 minutes past of 7 o'clock? Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Hello, good night, Andrew. How are you?
Good night.
How are you?
I'm fine. And you?
There's a problem I have here.
What's the problem?
Saving a batsman for form, you should play.
Yes.
Bonnie Bunk said it. Eddie Boy Bowling scored 100 in a whole match. He come and score 100 here last week. He ain't getting any bad this team. I wanna be the problem. I wanna what merit Dominic Dress play on. Right? I don't feel Dress should be team. I feel Justin Graves should give him a chance. You agree that?
No, but Justin Graves is not he's with the Leewards.
Well, he's with the Leeward.
Yeah.
Okay. But anyhow.
And Shamar Springer is with the Windwards.
He's with the Windwards. Well. So I wonder how come that right. the boy didn't get a player. He just scored 200.
Mm-hmm.
The big 100, 171 or something, so I know how did he can't get anything.
The 100 would have been scored in red ball cricket. He made a 79 in the trials. All right, thanks for your contribution, caller. Maybe I should go to Roland Butcher and ask him, Roland, how are you? I mean, you've seen the Barbados team. You like it, Roland?
Andrew, first of all, good evening to you and your guests. My first interaction here, you want to ask me about Barbados selection?
No, that's coming. But that's coming directly from the caller. You see, he's saying he wouldn't play Dominic Drake. Would you play him, Roland?
Yes, but
come off the fence
before you've even introduced me. Before you've even introduced me to your listeners, you're trying to ask me in relation to whether Barbados have selected the wrong or the right. Well, listen.
Yes.
Whatever team any selectors, as you know, people always have an issue with it. You know, because Bolden wasn't selected, I guess he's in reserve. It doesn't mean that he's not on the horizon. A lot of people feel that as soon as somebody scores runs that they should play it, even if you need a bowler. If you need a bowler, you should still play the batsman. Unfortunately, cricket is not like that. Cricket is about rules. If you need a bowler, you pick a bowler. You don't pick a batsman, and vice versa. I guess they have gone with the batters that they feel that they want to go with, and Bolden unfortunately missed out. But, you know, he's a young man at the start of his career, so, you know, he will get plenty of opportunities. He may even get an opportunity in this same very tournament.
Careful, watch your language, watch your conduct. Watch your conduct.
Man,
she's
a waste of time, man.
Mm.
She don't
feel good. But it was a dolly she dropped today. Roland, you had a chance to see the game?
Every match she plays, she dropped somebody.
Roland?
I followed the game, Andrew, but, you know, I think listening to some of the remarks, I'm wondering who won the game.
I watch
as far as I understand, the West Indies won the game and won perhaps the biggest game of their life for some time against a top team.
Yes.
Should not be something to be celebrated. Where are we picking at somebody who dropped, somebody bowled a bad over, somebody who didn't bowl?
Pardon me, Roland, I disagree with you. And that's the problem that we have in West Indies cricket. We need to analyse success. You could win a game and there are concerns. What are you saying, Roland? What are you really saying?
What I'm saying is, you celebrate the victory.
But we are celebrating the victory, Roland.
Do you believe the coach is not aware of any deficiencies within the team that he will try to get right before the next game? The team won. Let's celebrate the victory.
But we are celebrating the victory, Roland.
One of the biggest games. Don't go on about a girl dropping a catch or misfielding or somebody didn't bowl. Those are irrelevant. Suppose you could have bowled somebody
else. But that is not true, Roland. That is not true. That's a very... let me be careful with my language here, Roland. But I'm saying to you that you're saying that we should come on this show and praise the West Indies, and we've done that. But there are areas of concern. Should we not look at the areas of concern? Is that what you're saying?
Of course you look at areas of concern.
Oh, and that's what we're doing.
Areas of concerns with a very good victory should not be the main focal point.
But it's not the main focal point. But it's not the main focal point, Roland.
Every person I've heard who come on the call is asking, "Boy, where is this person not? Where is this person in the team?"
Continue.
They can't feel, or they can't bowl, or they can't bat, or they're too big, or and you've just won a game. Andrew, come
yes.
on. We're better than that.
We're just offering something called critical analysis, Roland, which you're fully aware of.
I'm very aware of your critical analysis. The type of critical analysis. Listen, Andrew, there's no such thing as a perfect performance. Huh?
No.
We all strive for perfection, but you never ever reach perfection.
Yes. I see.
Could West Indies have played any better today? No, they couldn't have. They played the perfect game to win a very important game.
Right.
Game that puts them in the semi-final and put one of the favourites out of the tournament.
Right.
Isn't that something to be celebrated?
It is. 4417 90. George, you think we're unfair? You think what Roland is saying has got some credence, some credit? I mean, what do you think?
Well, let me say belated birthday greetings to my friend Roland. Hope you had a great day on your birthday.
Well, thank you, George.
Roland, to be honest, I don't see anything wrong in us doing the critical analysis, because even though that we won, you know, convincingly today, we are looking forward and knowing that New Zealand, they're going to be looking at us and look at our weak areas, look at our strong points, and then try to, you know, conquer us.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to try and, you know, get our weak areas stronger.
Mm.
I'm always concerned about the lower order batting of West Indies women's team.
Yes.
Always concerned about that. And that's why I always watch prayerfully when Haley's batting and pray that she stays there for a long time. So I'm one who's always concerned. And I think that if we have players who are on the bench that can fit in for some of the guys who are not up to par, we can switch them in and out, you know, because if they're not contributing with the bat, not contributing with the ball, not contributing in the field, you know, that's a bit of a liability. So we can make the team stronger. We are very, very happy for the victory that we had today. I'm very happy, very proud. You know, I was surprised, I must tell you, because I thought that with all the beating up we've got from England since 2018, I thought, well, oh man, this may be our last game, you know, and if Haley doesn't stick around,
all those
negativity was going through my mind, honestly.
Yes.
If she doesn't stick around, then we're in trouble. So,
George,
yes, sir.
That doesn't mean you cannot get those things right in the next day before the next game. You cannot.
You can do some tweaking. There's nothing wrong with tweaking. You can do tweaking.
There are weaknesses. There are weaknesses within that side that we've all known, and the coach knows.
Mm-hmm.
You will not get it right in the next day.
Mm-hmm.
What you have to focus on. You have a one-off game against New Zealand. It's the same situation. You win, you go forward. You lose, you go home.
Right.
So your mind has to be right. Forget the technical issues that you may have. The technical issues are irrelevant now because they're there already. The opposition know what they are.
Right.
When West Indies go into this next game, New Zealand will know exactly what they need to do. They need to get Haley Matthews out early, et cetera, et cetera. Those are things that we've known from the start of the series.
Right.
All West Indies have to do in this next game is to get the mind right.
And
hold on, Philip. Hold on. Let him finish the point and I'll come to you. Okay. Yeah.
But the point I'm making is that you're not going to make
Roland, Philip came in just so you said all the West Indies have got to do is to do what? Get the mind right? Is that what you said?
What I'm saying is you have to, listen, you get mentally tuned in for games.
Right, good.
The importance of a game.
Right.
This game against New Zealand is similar to England's.
Right.
Right? In that it's a win-win situation. You win, you go forward. You lose, you go home.
Right.
So you've got to tune your mind in, first of all, to that.
Right.
Get your players to buy into that. Forget the issues of somebody who drops a catch or somebody who can't. Those things don't matter now. Right. Those are things that you deal with, you'll be dealing with in the past and you deal in the future.
Mm.
This is a game, right? That has no bearing at all on this game.
So,
if West Indies can go with the same attitude and boldness as they did today, right? They got a good chance of winning the game. Right?
I believe they have.
I don't think anybody's disputing that. Yes, Philip?
One crucial person behind the scenes that we might not be familiar with is Dr. Nadine Sami. She's been a psychologist working with the team for a couple of years now, and she's in Dubai. And Dr. Sami, she's not one who's, you know, up front. She's not one you see jumping up and down when they win. But Dr. Sami is tremendously outstanding. I've seen her work. I know what she does with that team.
Is she related to Darren Sami?
There's no relation. Dr. Sammy's from Trinidad.
Oh, she's from Trinidad. Okay, fair enough.
To Darren, but no, she does extremely good work. And another person who really, I know, you can, because Andrew, having worked with the team before and knowing how the team operates, you can look, Gary Bell, the analyst, you can see Gary Bell's work.
Yes.
And you can see him constantly behind the laptop, sending out information to Haley, sending out information to court deeds. And every time you see Gary make a suggestion, you see the message get run on the field. But I believe Dr. Stanley is a crucial member of that team. And Roland talked about the mental preparation and the readiness for the next match and how they need to be up for it against New Zealand. And you can see Dr. Stanley already, her influence, because that the team was done and out against South Africa. That 10-wicket defeat hit them hard. I know the camp. I know what's going on. So I can tell you things that obviously the public will not be privy to. They got hit hard against New Zealand, but they, a lot of work has been put in. And Dr. Sammy and Gary Bell deserve a lot of credit for where the team has reached. And you can see Healy taking the lead in every instance. Healy doesn't sit back and wait for other people to to determine for her. Healy makes the forward step and pushes the envelope and tells people what the score is and what needs to be done. Healy was failing as well going into this game. They were bowling her very close. She wasn't getting the opportunity to free her arms and play those big shots that she likes to play, square the wicket and over the offside. And you can see Healy was under a little bit of pressure. Came up today, and with Joseph back at the top, took all the pressure off Healy, and Healy was able to play with that freedom and that extravagance that we love to see. And she took up the victory today. So those are small pieces in the puzzle that are coming together. And you can see that they're going to be very ready for Friday morning.
Well, I'm always cautiously optimistic because, the inconsistency over the years, I think there's some of that we need to look at. I'm happy that the women won. There's no question about that. But I'm not going to do it like Roland and say, but look, just get the mind right and that's it. Anyway, let's pause for business calls when we come back. We certainly go to Phil Oak. I'm sure he's got a reaction to what Mr. Butcher said. And also as well, I just got a WhatsApp. And it's one that you should really respond to, Philip, because they're saying, what are you talking about? By making the comment that Dutton should easily have been the player of the match. That certainly went to Joseph. And there's some saying that Joseph batted at the top, made it easy for the West Indies team to go on to win, and therefore Joseph should be the man of the match quite comfortably. But I'll certainly invite your thoughts on that. Mason and guests, brought in association with the good friends at ASFE, White Rum, the best show of the day.
ASFE, White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Philip, they're also saying, giving you some lashes. They're saying that if our good friend Taylor is not fit, you know, she shouldn't play. Now, you made the comment if she's 50% fit or maybe 60% fit, you will play her. Your reaction to this, Philo, before we go? Philip, before we go to Philo.
Yeah, well, Dutton won the match. Dutton took the catches, four of them. She ran out one of the marquee British English batters. Brilliant run out, if I might say.
Yes.
Pick up and throw the keeper. To finish it off, she bowled 3 for 16 and took a wicket. That's an economy rate of 5.1, and she took a wicket. And then she goes and she, after Healy and Tiana gave us a wonderful start.
Yes,
I mean, they played brilliantly.
Mm.
The job was not completed.
I agree.
The job wasn't done. And Dutton took the initiative. She understood the game. Her cricketing IQ kicked in.
Yes.
She realized there's something to be done here. But not only did she do that, she realized that if I up the ante, we're going to win and top the group. And we play the weaker of the two semifinal opponents. So she ensured the job was 90% completed from start to finish. So this is not taken away from Kiana's brilliant performance. A career best half century is good. But she didn't bowl a ball and she didn't take a catch, right? So Dutton had a full batch. This is probably one of the best matches of Dutton's career, if you think about it. And it is probably the performance of the tournament so far. I mean, had she hung around a little bit more and come off 35, not out, I mean, that seals the deal. That didn't happen. But she from start of the match, the only thing she didn't do was win the toss because she didn't spin it.
Well said, Phil. Engineered the victory.
And this is not taking anything away from Kiana, nor is it taking anything away from Haley, because Haley bowled a full quarter and took 2 wickets and also made a 50.
Mm.
So Haley was also in the discussion for the player of the match. But you know, that's my view on it. I am happy that other people choose to disagree with me or have different views. That's democracy. That's what it's all about. But in my opinion, Dalton engineered the victory.
Yes.
And has done a tremendous job.
Continues
to do a tremendous job for West Indies cricket.
All right.
We definitely missed her. There's no doubt. We have missed her.
Yeah, indeed. Oh, Philip, your reaction to all this? Roland Butcher came on and was chastising us for saying, look, look, boy, you know, the West Indies wants and that's it. Talk to me, Philip. You agree with Roland?
Andrew, all of us have opinions. West Indies women won a game today, but West Indies women won a game today, but there were mistakes made.
Mm.
We faced New Zealand in the semi-final. You really feel like if nation playing the semi-final against New Zealand and drop a catch, it would cost us more than it cost us today. If Manasar drops a catch or misfields, they will cost us more than it cost us today. So these are the mistakes that we don't want to see going into the next game.
Mm-hmm.
We will hope that nation, who has been playing for such a long time at West Indies cricket for over 10 years, would at least, you know, draw on some experiences to be better in the field. She's low in confidence, we know. And Philip said the doctor who is there, Dr. Sammy, is doing a wonderful job and X, Y, Z. But nation's been struggling from since the tournament started. So there's some things that we saw today that we wouldn't like to see against New Zealand. And it's not taking anything away from no victory. You win matches, but there's still mistakes that were made.
Mm.
So we still have to be critical about what we're doing and what we're saying about West Indies women's cricket. They played well, Andrew. They beat the second-place team in the world.
Right.
Second-ranked team in the world. Now they go to New Zealand. This is going to be another tough game. The mental side will be worked on. And then you're looking at skills.
Yes.
As well. The skills come with confidence.
Yes.
And if you look at the persons in the squad who's been performing, they have confidence. The persons who are not performing don't have confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to see a bit more of Aaliyah Aline as well, I thought today she handled herself quite well. She came in and she knocked the ball to the boundary. I think there's a bigger role that she can play as well.
Yeah.
So these are things that you can look at.
She's an underrated batsman, Philip. You're right. Yeah. Underrated batsman, yeah. Yeah.
I told you today she struck the ball through extra cover.
Beautiful.
She didn't even know how to describe the shot.
Yes, beautiful.
It looked like a single, then it hit the bone because the timing was good. That was a good shot on the pressure. You can see that. At least she came in and she said, look, I can win this game. So you got her, you got Henry, you got Dalton. Those are three.
Yes.
You got Matthews and Joseph at the top. That's five.
Right.
My thing is just the number three batter. A little bit keeper. Andrew needs a little controlling. But if you could temper her a bit more, she can do things. But, you know, I think that she gets very excited, the bit keeper. No quarrels about it, but she gets excited, good energy. If you can control it a bit better, you can get more from the top six because there's no Stefani Taylor. Andrew, I can't see Stefani Taylor playing against New Zealand. Not what I saw today with her hobbling down a step.
Yeah.
I can't see it.
Oh.
So we're looking at to get the best out of our top six.
Mm.
Okay, and that's if both those top six can perform, be able to show. 150, 160 is not difficult for us to score if we bat properly and play the cricket and we can defend it. Again, once the management on the field as well and Gary Bell is working, and once that happens, we can get there. There's still some problems that saw we just highlighted them. Nobody's taking anything away from the victory. It was a good win.
Yeah.
And they'll be rewarded for their victory.
Okay, just before you go, somebody's been trying to get in. Let's take that call, can we?
I think they left us.
Oh, we were speaking too long.
Well, here they are.
Oh, they're here again. Let's take the call. Hello, welcome, missing guests. Hello, welcome. Hello. 7:30 in the country. You got another half an hour to go on Mason and Guest. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest. Where is the caller? Is he in St. Philip on his way down through Six Roads now? Hello, welcome. All right. Okay, 441790. You can give us a call.
Yes. Jermaine Campbell. He's a gem that we don't realize.
No, she has a world record that's probably never be broken.
Mm.
Nobody in the history of cricket, men or women, has ever made 1,000 runs, 100 dismissals, and more than 50 wickets.
Oh, dear.
Because you appreciate that wicket keepers don't bowl and bowlers don't keep wicket.
Right.
But she has done all three in international cricket. And so on another day, remember you had in like Twain used to keep wicket and yes. Aguilera used to keep wicket. When they used to keep, Campbell used to bowl. She used to bowl very effective leg spin. So on any given day, if the stock run out, she can put down the pads and the gloves and go and bowl. So it's a very, very unique record in the history of men and women cricket. 50 wickets, 100 dismissals, and 1,000 runs.
Tremendous.
And her numbers, her batting averages aren't great, but she's, as Philo said, she's all energy. And you know, in cricket, you need a wicket keeper to keep a lot of noise, make people busy, get going, and bring on. It sometimes leads to a run out and things like that. And she's very good, but it's a very, very unique record, which probably will never, ever be repeated because no bowler is going to go and keep wicket and be good enough to get 100 dismissals. And think about it. Think about Curly Ambrose with 100, with 10 stumpings.
Mm.
Or Jeffrey Dujon with 50 wickets. It never happens.
Never.
You know? So she's a real, true all-rounder of cricket. And she's someone that they keep picking because they know she's three-dimensional.
All right. Let's take a call. It's 7:32 in the country. Mason and Guest. Hello, welcome.
Hello, good night.
Good night to you.
Yeah, I would like the West Indies women to beat New Zealand.
Yes.
But I believe that whoever wins the comes against Australia, and I believe that Australia can win the tournament.
Mm.
I believe that because Alyssa Healy does not intimidate most of them, you know.
Mm.
So I believe she better.
You have Australia. You have Australia to win.
I believe that Alyssa Healy better than half of the women that we talk about from the West Indies, you know.
Mm.
She's intimidating. You know, the Australians, the women got the same mentality as the male players. They intimidate the opposition, you know.
Mm. Yeah, that's an interesting
point. I don't know if y'all see it that way, though.
Mm. Dr. Ford, do you agree with the caller?
Well, definitely the Australians are very formidable. They've been, you know, at the top of cricket for a while, so it's going to be difficult. And, you know, Healy has a wonderful record. So, you know, the results speak for themselves.
Caller?
Yeah, all right.
All right.
Hello?
Yes. Any further points?
Yeah, I realized with the Australian main team, the movement speed, back down the order, and said they're going to look at one of the regular openers in Australia, but you hope that. Mm. They want that Cameron Bancroft don't get the position. Cause how could you rub sandpaper on a ball years ago? And yet you see, I want the player Marcus Harris instead.
Yeah, instead.
Or Matthew Renshaw.
Doc,
that is my position on that.
Doc, that one is for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone can be rehabilitated. I'm sure we've all done things that we.
Yes.
But the thing is, how do they assess him now, years on from that? And you know, I haven't been in the middle as my illustrious colleague and on the panel has been, like Philo and Ferris, but I'm sure people have done all sorts of things with balls and different things to advantage, and there were cameras to see what was done. So you know, to give a good chance.
I agree. All right, thanks for your contribution, caller. 7:34 in the country. You. Keep the calls. That Barbados team has, in fact, been announced. In fact, there was a press conference today. And I just want to get a reaction from the noted journalist who's on holiday, Ezra Michael Stewart from The Nation. Ezra, good evening to you, sir. How are you?
All right, Andrew, good evening. Hustling, trying to get the football.
Oh, you're hustling to get the football, Barbados are playing. Okay, well, I wouldn't take up too much of your time. Your reaction to the 40-man squad that was selected, and it was, of course, announced today. Are you happy with it, Ezra?
Well, I would say that I am not entirely happy at all with the squad. For the past couple of weeks now, I was saying that Naimoa Boland and Nathan Seedy should be automatic choices in the Barbados 50-over squad.
Mm.
I said that Boland should be in the squad on the account that he made a spark in 171 in the Super Cup final, which is really your premier limited overs tournament. And it was a majestic knock, you know, coming from 62 for 5 for Wilde under pressure, then 130 yards for 7 to score 171. And it was probably one of the best ever one day innings in local club cricket ever played by anyone. And to do it on your 21st birthday in such a situation, you know, it demanded that this young man wants the likes of Cheer Hope, Roston Chase and company were not going to be available for a Barbados team. You had to pick this young man who followed up that knock in his first trial match. Well, he played the second game. I don't think he played the first. And he made 79. You know, he did not, it was not a one-off situation for the young man Boland. This is the guy who was captain Barbados under 15 cricket team, under 17, under 19 captain, Jacob Bethel. He is captain West Indies under 15 team, a co-captain. And you treat this young man like that, and what makes it even worse is that he was not even named among the reserves. You imagine that? This is what their national selectors have done to a young man in the prime of his form. Mm. And there are players in the team who have not performed better than Boland this year in this in the 50-over competition, nor at trials.
Mm.
So, Andrew, I am very upset about his this knob.
So hold on, Ezra. So if you're going to bring Boland in, who would you have left out?
I could have left out about 6 batsmen, Andrew. Boredom, Met selection. Don't tell me that you have to leave out anybody for boredom. No. Boland should have been the second name on the list after the captain.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I made no bones about that. And we are carrying players who have failed to perform for Barbados and take wickets.
Who are these players?
Going in this team.
Oh, so you
why is this Jamal Warkan in the team ahead of Nathan Seedy? Jamal Warkan took 3 wickets last year in 7 matches. And you had other left-arm spinners like Pramal, Muti, the guy from the Leeward Islands, Doran. All of them had double-digit hauls in terms of wickets. And we have a young Nathan Seedy who was 17 or 18 years old who took the most wickets in our local 50-over tournament and has performed desperately in a practice game and scored 100 and took 3 wickets. And you are going to leave him out for Warrington, who will never play for the West Indies in 50-over cricket. I could understand if it was a 4-day situation, you retain Jamal. We are not treating our young.
So then you would have had Nathan Seedy in the side and Boland. Any other concerns? Would you pick Reefer?
Reefer?
Yes. Would you have picked him?
But it would have come down to a little experience in terms of Reefer and Rashawn Premus. I personally might have gone. I am very sweet on Premus. I don't think that, you know, after he scored 140 odd in a semifinal game against Trinidad and Tobago about 2 years ago. He did not do a lot last year, and his trials did not perform as well as I was hoping, you know. But considering the unavailability or the fact that we won't have a Justin Graves, a Shamar Springer in the side, those are wrong slots. You probably needed a rounder with some experience. But I think that what the selectors could have done, someone like Naeem Young, he took 12 kids for the Cricket Academy last year. I'm not sure that I would have had him in my 40-member squad. But he is a promising cricketer. But I think that we had enough seeing more than all rounders in the side that we could have gone with another specialist batsman. But I think that you know, when all is said and done, I am not sure also about the leg spinner and Javon Leacock. You know, leg spinners are rare breed, and some of them are not as consistent as you would like them to be. And with two left-arm spinners and Tim Warrington and Matthew Jones, who merit his selection on the sheer weight of performances over the last couple of years.
Right.
And then you have the off-spin and Kemar Smith. You have a four spinner there. You know, it begs the question if we have the right balance. We have a lot of semi for sure. And I'm just hoping that they will perform. Like, someone like a Lanika Boucher, too, who I hear talk about, he can be the keeper in the squad. He and Demetrius Richards. Boucher did not do very well in the trials at all. I don't think he got past 15 runs in any of 3 innings that he batted. He did score a double 100 in the 50-over tournament. Sometimes you have to judge players on their recent form. And like I said earlier, Bowden is in the form of his life. And to not include him and not even put him in the reserve. If I wasn't going to football now and looking for Barbados to beat the Bahamas 3-0, I would call for the resignation of all the selectors. I'll call for the removal of the selectors. But I want to do that.
Ezra, just assume that you're not going to football. On Mason and Guest at 7:42, you're calling for the removal of the Barbados selectors. Is that what you're saying?
Well, the chairman, for sure.
The chairman.
I think Andy Booms should go. At one stage when this team was being selected, I thought that this was an A1 team. You know, I was thinking that a club team.
Yeah.
You know, I saw some names in there and everything. You know, they got some players that are not in good form at the moment.
Well, the response, though, is that, Broome has done very well as chairman of selection. Look at his record. Is it a pretty decent record, isn't it?
Decent? I don't know that. We won the regional four-day competition, but once in the last 5 or 6 years. Do you remember the Ghana team winning under Leon Johnson?
Yes.
Quite a bit. We brought that, but with the players at Barbados, and all these West Indies players, that's why I expected that we should be winning the regional tournament a lot more.
Yes.
Like in the old days. You know, I'm sure that the Ghana team that won, I think it was this year.
Right.
It wasn't a strong team. Some people like St. Pierre scoring 500 runs in regional first class competition and being one of their standout players. So, and Kevin Imlach, you know, who is struggling to make up SNDC. But we should be winning more titles. I think that we have done very well.
Just before you go, I just want you to narrow it down. 14 people have been selected. You're saying Bolden and Seeley would be in your side. Is that correct?
Yes.
Now, from the 14, hold on, Ezra, who would you have left out? I've got my pen, I got my paper.
Well, I said I would have left out Warrington.
You left out Warrington and?
Maybe either Boucher or Nine Young or even Reefer for Bowler, because I think that we need to have some more specialist batsmen in there. I don't think that Reefer is going any place. He's a decent cricketer. I serve Barbados and Guyana very, very well.
Mm.
But there's a time, that there have come a time that you have to move on. To my surprise, you have people like Craig Bradford and working captain inside in the trials. You know, for what? And then you were opening the batting with Shane Mosley and Akeem Springer. Akeem Springer, very consistent, good player, but he's not going to be one that you will be in the Barbados team. You know, there's certain club cricketers, and Akeem is my good friend. You know, so, you know, but there are certain players that will not go too far. I don't think that we'd be looking at Shane Mosley to represent the West Indies, or that he will be a standout in the 50-over cricket competition. So,
final question, Ezra.
Proper opportunities in the trials to really showcase the ability. I remember going and watching the last over in one trial match and see Jonathan Drake. ball in the over for 19 runs, the final over of the last round game. You know, those I could not understand if you were really serious. Mm. And there were far too many players involved in the trials.
Right.
That's no chance at all.
Final question, Ezra. Just before you go, Kyle Mayers is captain. Happy with that?
Oh, yeah. I think that Kyle Mayers will bring some aggression to the captain's seat. You know, we have been lacking in aggressive captains who, you know, with set attacking steals and
aggression. You said aggression, Ezra?
Yeah, I think that Kyle Mayers.
But I don't see that generally in the West Indies captains.
Kyle Mayers should not really be in Barbados at this time. Captain in the Barbados, maybe he should be with the West Indies team.
Yep, I agree.
I can't understand the selection of Fletcher in that West Indies team. And you got someone like a Kyle Mayers. He wasn't in the selected, strangely, in the very first World Cup team. He got an opportunity, May 30th or so on. And now all of a sudden he is back out. And Fletcher, at 36, is in the team. You know, Fletcher has been there and done little. Have about nearly 30 or so single-digit scores and 56 or so innings for West Indies in T20 cricket.
Right.
And you're still trying to keep Fletcher in the team? You know, these guys are going to master CPL and franchise cricket, but when it comes to the international level, not sure that these guys are worthy of being selected.
All right, Ezra.
Kalmir's a cricket three-dimensional. You know, he can bat ball, and he's an outstanding fielder, and you saw West Indies T20 squad minus about four players, and he's
good,
not selected.
No, he's a good
man.
He's a good fielder, Ezra. He's
one of our better T20 cricketers in the Caribbean.
I agree with you. Ezra, thanks. Time is tight. I'm happy that we were able to get you on Mason and Guests, and I'm sure that the selectors would have listened to you. And one of the things coming up, you're saying that the time has come for us to move on from our good friend, Mr. Hendy Brooms. All right. 7:48 in the country. Time is very, very tight. 4241790. Gentlemen, let me come to you now, Roland. In terms of we spoke a lot about the women, but what a poor performance by the men today, Roland. What's going on there? What happened?
Yeah, very poor performance. Yeah, badly beaten. Obviously, different pitch. You know, Sri Lanka obviously playing to their strengths, which is to make sure that the pitch is turning. The only surprise for me really was that the first game wasn't like that in terms of pitch.
Yes, I agree.
So, you know, I think they learned the lesson very quickly and reverted to what's going to give them the best opportunity. So at the end of the day, it was a big beating. If you get beat by 73 runs in the T20, really, that is a hammering. And it is not as if the opposition scored 200. So, you know, good performance by Sri Lanka, and not such a good performance by the West Indies. You know, a lot of work to do.
Mm. George, you would have been disappointed. I know you're quite happy with the West Indies women, but the men, talk to me about the men, George.
Well, in the first match that they played and we won convincingly, I was also surprised that Sri Lanka gave them a flat pitch because our batsmen are flat pitch bullies, right? And I was saying, well, Sri Lanka is just probably making a game of it. Just make it interested so that it will be a 2-2 today. And then in the third match, you know that's going to be another turner. Mm. So they're going to win and they'll have a good turnout. I wasn't surprised at all when we lost today. From the time I saw the ball turning square, I said, wow, we're in trouble. I said, if they get 120, it's going to take some doing. And as they got that much runs, I said, oh my goodness, here we go again. We're not going to get those runs because our guys, they are not good players of spin.
Mm.
Sometimes they bat like their feet have anchors or they're in concrete. And then when they get down the pitch, their head is all in the air. They're not nowhere close to the pitch of the ball, get stumped, get caught. And as usual, they're always playing airborne instead of working the ball around. I was very disappointed in the skipper for slipping down the order. What number did he bat? 7 or 8? Mm. That was ridiculous. Mm. He's showing us that he doesn't have the skill to play spin bowlers. He's showing us that he hasn't got the confidence in his batting. Is it time to change?
Mm.
Well, Faith Lowe may be able to tell us that. Or former selector, Mr. Butcher, may be able to tell us if it's time to change.
Mm.
I was very disappointed. He should be taking charge. Work with the team. Get some runs. Work the ball around until he comes on to his hitting time. In the last five overs, he can take command. Mm. But, again, he got a six and then got out again.
And that was
it. I am not happy about his captaincy at all. And I think he's captaining him too far also. Way back on the boundary and waiting for decisions to be made by others. That's ridiculous. I'm tired of that. I'm a big fan of his, but I'm a bit tired of his performance.
So George, are you calling for the removal of Paul as captain? George?
Well, we should look into that. I'm not going to say... if it was up to me, I would give him a rest from the captaincy.
Mm.
If it was up to George,
George, the answer is yes then.
The answer is yes for me.
Okay, fine. But I want to hear that. I want to hear that. Yeah. I'll let Roland, who tends to be on the fence. Philo, talk to me. What happened today, Philo, with the West Indies men?
Andrew, Sri Lanka prepared a very good surface for the first T20.
Yes.
And I, too, like Roland, was surprised that they got a very good pitch in Nambula. That pitch was super.
Mm-hmm.
And West Indies made here by the sunshine. But then they realized, if you take some of the grass off and go onto the same pitch, it's going to turn.
Mm-hmm.
And the batters batted to a score. They wanted to get 160. It was in the Sanaf Jai Surya. And they were looking at a par score of 160. And once they got 160, they thought that they could have defended it.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought that we would be bowled out so cheaply. That's the truth. I thought our openers would have, maybe better the storm. I looked to push the ball around rather than look for power shots all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked so bad is that nobody even tried to settle down in the middle order. And then our captain running down to number seven and sending Modi.
Yes.
The bat was shift for Rutherford, two left-handers.
Can you imagine
and
that?
And I don't understand what our captain, he doesn't understand spin, but he bats in a peak gap. So he can't even try to sweep. But all he's looking to do is hit the ball down the ground. Because if he puts the helmet on, at least he can try a little sweep.
Mm.
You know, let me top edge it and hit in the space. He's just batting this peak gap, looking to hit the ball down the ground, and the ball is turning. And it looked terrible today. I mean, it was a bad batting display. It was very disappointing, Ross, and it's shot as well.
Yes.
You can't go outside the leg step, hit the left arm, spin it through, extra cover. Your hands are going away from your body.
Yes.
There's a slip in place. You're going to edge the ball, but the ball is turning. Common sense cricket. So we got caught up today, and the Sri Lankans are smiling, knowing that we have a big weakness. And I would be surprised if they both see me in the next T20.
Oh, dear.
Because they can throw more spin at us.
Oh, yes.
They might even go back on the same surface. Because what surprised me with Pakistan and England is that Pakistan has played a test match on the same pitch that they played the first test match, which is quite strange.
Mm.
So I believe that Sri Lanka will put us back on the same pitch for the third T20. So we got to be very careful going into that final T20 match. And we've got to be cognizant that we're going to get spin. I'll be hoping that Shea Hope, sore neck, will be not so sore so he can take up the gloves and back. Because that's just a typical thing with Ireland's player. Once the ball is spinning, he's at sea.
Mm.
He's at sea once the ball is spinning.
Mm.
And the guy's got to understand when the ball is turning, you've got to get close to the ball.
Mm-hmm.
They're not getting close to the ball.
Mm.
And I thought Azari came into there, and he didn't look too bad as a batter. But again, the runs were too big, and we ended up getting beat rather badly, I must admit. I didn't like the beat at all. I hope they can pull their socks up and try to correct the mistakes for the final T20, but it's going to be difficult. Mm-hmm. Sri Lanka has already shown us that they're going to outscore us. And the Sri Lankan batters are batting fearless.
Yes.
They're batting fearless. They're batting well, I must admit. They batted well today. They have a left-hander called Mendes.
Right.
You can't stop him from scoring.
No. All right, just one minute. We're going to come back to you. Let's do our final commercial break, and then we come back to do a wrap. Mason and Guest, brought in association with the good friends at ASAP, he went rum the best shot of the day.
ASAP, white rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth. Break it down or you can't qualify. Just sing this song. Tell me bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, gentlemen, time it goes so quickly. Dr. Ford, your comments, and then we'll end with Philip.
Well, you know, as I said, for the women, batting can win matches. And the first match, we batted well. The second match, we batted poorly. And we're not good with spin. I talked about the captain a few weeks ago, and even earlier than that, when he was the captain of both white ball teams. You can't have a guy playing 50 in, you know, in one version of white ball cricket, 80, and just averaging in the low 20s. We've seen that he is not a top class, top six batsman. And if he is a great man manager, then fine. But I don't think that's what we need. We need an 11 that can really function. And I don't think that he brings enough to the game to be West Indies captain. But I was also surprised that Rawson Chase talked about winning all three. I think we have to be measured. If we win a match, we have to be measured, respect the opposition, and always say that we'll be endeavoring to do our best and talk about some other things. But I find that before every series, we always have this bravado talking about things we're going to do. And we talk a good talk, but we're unable to walk the walk. And a friend of mine says that we don't walk. We usually use crutches or sometimes a wheelchair rather than walking the talk. But, you know, I think we just have to try harder. We have to be more consistent. We have to learn to bat to all versions of bowling. And that's going to be important.
Philip?
Yeah, Andrew, what you noticed with Sri Lanka, you saw it with England in the T20s, and you see it with India. They're introducing the new young players as they're looking to build towards winning the World Cup. And that's what we have to do. We've kept faith with some people who have been around for quite a while, and we've gone back for people who've been around for quite a while, and we're going back for people who've been around for a longer while. So you brought back somebody who's been playing, who debuted for West Indies in 2007. Well, Sri Lanka is going for a guy who played in the Under-19 World Cup and who came to the CPL and showed that he has skills. So that's a lesson for us. The man of the match today was on debut.
Yeah.
And let's look at that as an opportunity against England. Let's bring in some new people as we build. The other thing with the Barbados situation, as Ezra went on and on about it, I would have actually liked the BCA to also announce the players on contract. So they announced a squad with half the players not on contract, but they haven't announced the players who are on contract. So we don't know who have contracts or what. And Cricket West Indies hasn't told us who has reached the contract. So we're in the dark as to who has contracts and who are being picked. Are players being picked that are out of contract, or players on contract somewhere else? And where are the players who are on contract? So these are the things that we would answer to, because we don't know who have Barbados contracts. We were told that Shamar Holder received a contract when Chase got his West Indies contract. He's one of 14, but we don't know who the other 13 are. So these are the things that, if information out there, and if you're going to announce a squad smack dab in the middle of two West Indies teams playing internationally, then you got to look at your PR as well.
How
do you announce your mark for the marquee tournament in the middle of two West Indies teams playing globally, one of them being led by your local captain? I mean, that announcement could have been made Monday. It could have been made tomorrow. It could have been made Saturday on the sponsor show. So these are things that you really should look at. If you want to maximize visibility, attention, and get your you know, get your PR machinery working for you. It did not work today. Because one, they announced in the middle of two international matches when people are hooked to the international matches. And two, they announced a squad, but they don't tell us who are on contract. So we really don't know who's going where and who's doing what, and who should be here and who should be there and who should be elsewhere. So these are things to look at in terms of the bigger picture. But thanks.
Right. Interesting comments coming there from Philip Spoon towards the end. I'm sure that Stephen Leslie would have heard you and the BCA. Interesting comments coming there. Fair criticism is the kiss of death and the courtship of achievement. I always say that. Some fighting words coming from someone who should know. Interesting. Very interesting indeed. Well, we hope you enjoyed our show half as much as we enjoyed presenting to you. Quickly then, on Thursday, Australia up against South Africa, 10 o'clock. And then, of course, West Indies playing against the New Zealand side on Friday, the big finals on Sunday. I'm Andrew Mason. Here's hoping for a brighter tomorrow. It's good night.